Imagine somebody comes to you and says, I want to be fit, I want to be healthy, I want to be strong, I want to be lean, I want a body that is capable of doing all the things I need it to do, play my sport, do my work, be a parent or a great partner, love my life. Please help me to be healthy, fit and strong. And if you were a high performance eating and exercise coach, what advice would you give that person? What would you tell them to do? If you were your own high performance eating and exercise coach and you wanted to be healthy, fit, strong, lean, and be able to do all the things you want to do with your life for the rest of your life, what advice would you give yourself? Great question. And here's an even more interesting question based on some of the information that is currently floating around in the world at the moment. Do you want to get 80% of your best results or 20% of your best results? Or do you want to get 100% of the best results possible for your healthy, fit, strong body? Would you accept 80? And the reason I ask that question is there's a lot of fairly strong preaching going on that there is a percentage of food and exercise. And you'll often hear food is 80% of your results and exercise is 20% of your results. And you might have heard different percentages. There's a lot of percentages around macronutrients, about what percentage of protein, carbohydrate and fat you should be eating. We talk about 110% effort. You'll often hear that. I put in 110% effort and nobody notices. So how do we work out percentages? And if 100% is it, if that was the finite number, why would we accept anything less than 100% of anything? So why would you want food to give you 80% of your results? Wouldn't you want food to give you 100% of the energy required to go and get healthy, fit and strong? And when you're exercising, would you want to put in 100% effort into whatever exercise or activity or sport that you do so you can get the very best results possible? I'll rephrase. If you put in less than 100% effort, what is likely to happen? What are your results going to be? And if you try and put in 110% effort, and I always ask this question, if there is a certain amount of air required for tyres, whether they're bike tyres or car tyres, whatever tyres, and you put in 110% of the air required for that tyre, what will happen? Bang! The tyre will explode. And is it possible that if we aim to put in 110% effort, we would need to pull 10% from something else that requires 100% effort? So if I try and put in 110% effort into my work, for example, but there is only 100, is it possible I would have to pull 10% from my personal life, from my exercise, from my sport, from my hobbies, from my family to fill in that extra 10% if I was going to put in 110%? And I often use that example. I'm sure you've been involved in teams or groups of people or organizations where there are people who don't put in 100%. They put in 50 or 60%. And it's interesting that there's always somebody else in that organization that picks up the percentage that they didn't put in. However, that poor person that's filling in for the lazy person or the slack person, where did they pull the extra from? And the question is, are you an extra mile person? Of course, but if you go the extra mile, where does that extra mile come from? How do you produce that? And if you want to be healthy, fit and strong, can you put in 110% into your exercise? And it's a great question, because how can you give more than 100? And I'll just leave that sitting there. Because the reverse of that is, if I put in 90% effort, can I expect more than 90% of my results? So then comes that really great question, and I always ask it because so many people are quite argumentative even, have you noticed, about percentages. And I'll share it again because this often gets preached at me. Food is 80% of your results and exercise 20% of your results. So I ask the question, if I am on an eating or exercise plan to give me a certain result, what should I be able to demand from that eating or exercise plan? What should it give me? And should the answer be whatever it tells me it's going to, or it should do whatever I expect it to do? So if I'm going to spend time and or energy and or money, and I'll put it even more importantly, if I'm going to invest time, which I can't get back, money, which takes a lot to earn, and energy, which I have to produce, if I put those three things into something, what should I get back? What should be the return on my investment? So if I'm expecting a certain result for my eating and exercise plan, should I get it? And I always ask these four questions about any eating or exercise plan. Should I be able to demand that it gives me a stack of energy all day, every day? So I jump out of bed full of energy and I maintain that energy throughout the day. If I'm on an eating or exercise plan that should be working for me, should I have a stack of energy? Question number one. If I'm on an eating and exercise plan, should I be able to perform at my 100% effort? Not 80%, not 60%, not even 99%. Should I be able to perform at whatever I do at 100% effort? So whether I'm training in the gym or I'm going for a run or I'm sprinting for 10 seconds or I'm lifting heavy things or I'm being a parent or I'm being a great partner or I'm at my job, my career or my business, I'm playing my sport, I'm doing my athletic pursuit, whatever it is that I'm doing, should my body be capable of putting in 100% effort into everything that I do? Not 80, not 20, not 10. Should I be able to demand, there's a good word, 100% performance level of myself because my eating and exercise plan is working? So number one is energy, number two is performance. If I have a certain expectation of my eating and exercise plan that it's going to make me look and feel a certain way, should I be able to demand that? Especially if it's promised that I will look a certain way or I will feel a certain way. And if I'm not looking and or feeling the way I would like to from that eating and exercise plan, is it working? Or I might say, well, it's 50% working or 20% working. One of the really fun things that was shared with me about business a very long time ago, and one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about business, is the suggestion was that 50% of the effort that we put into our business works and 50% doesn't. But most business people don't know which percent is working. So I don't want that for my eating and exercise plan. I certainly don't want it for my business, which is why I'm so passionate about the fundamentals and the foundations of a successful business. And those things are often not argued about. And is it possible that the fundamentals and the foundations of being healthy, fit, strong and lean probably can't be argued about either? Now, of course, people will. But if you get really fit and if you get really strong, and not 80% fit and not 80% strong, but you get as fit as you possibly can be and you get as strong as you possibly can be, is it possible that you'll keep getting fitter and stronger? Now, I don't know what the limit for that is, of course. It seems that for a marathon run, 42.2 kilometers, it's around about the 2 hour mark now. For a 100 meter sprint, it's around about the 9.5 second mark. I think they've broken that, or they will soon. There's strongest people in the world that lift heavy things. So there is a limit to how much we can lift and how fast we can run and what we can do. But have we reached our full potential? Have we as individual people reached our 100% full potential? And once we've reached it, is it possible to keep getting better? Is it possible that once you're a certain fitness, you can keep getting fitter? Once you're a certain strength, you can keep getting stronger? Once you're a certain energy level, you can keep getting more energy levels or a higher energy, more energy and a higher energy level? And is it possible that whatever performance level you expect of yourself, that you could keep performing better and better? And I always ask those questions because I don't know what the potential of the human body is. I don't know what the potential of my human body is. But I get a little bit disappointed when people talk about less than 100%. How about you? So when it comes to food, I want my food to give me 100% of everything that I need, particularly energy and performance. But of course, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, which is all the high performance, high octane fuel that I need to make sure that my body can perform at its best. But what's the use of having high octane fuel if I don't have a machine that can perform at its very best? So when I exercise, I want to be able to exercise at my 100% best. I want to be able to sprint at my fastest, I want to be able to lift at my heaviest. I want to be able to perform as a high performance machine at 100% effort. So why would you, why should anybody accept less than 100%? If we're constantly striving for 100%, the endocrinologists, the hormone experts, suggest that we will be continually releasing for our body to appreciate the beautiful chemical response called dopamine, the neurotransmitter. It's not that we produce dopamine when we achieve a goal, it's when we're on track to achieving a goal, when we're in the pursuit of excellence, when we are in the pursuit of getting fit, when we are in the pursuit of getting stronger, when we are aiming to get bigger, better, stronger, faster, wiser, learn more, know more, just be better, our body keeps releasing dopamine. And that's the reward drug, and it makes us feel good. So, of course, the more we do, the better we feel. So should that mean that we have then the potential to do more? So if you've known me for a little while now, you'll often hear me share that I'm not a fan of the word best, because to me, best means can't get any better. And if I even think that I can't get any better, what opportunity do I have to get better? How could I possibly, if I think I'm the best, how will I get better? The beautiful thing is that there are some people in the world that simply by numbers can say that they're the best. They've won the most games, or they've shot the most hoops, or they've made the most money, or they've got the most successful business, or they've got the best numbers. But when you talk to those people or you listen to them share their experience, they're the folks that are constantly aiming to get better. So the people that have won one world championship want to win two. They've won two, so they want to win five. They've won five, so they want to win 10. They never call themselves the best, because they're always aiming to get better. There's that great expression in sport called the GOAT, greatest of all time. Greatest, every time you put an S on the end, it means that it can't get any better. And of course, that automatically sets the goal for other people to want to be better. Because if he's the greatest or she's the greatest, I now want to beat that. And is that one of the driving forces for the human brain, for the human potential? And is that one of the reasons why we keep producing those great chemicals that force us to get stronger, fitter, better, wiser? And that's the dopamine is a reward drug, yes, but we produce brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is fertilizer for our brain. So every time we overload our brain or our body, the body produces a special chemical to fertilize the brain so that we can keep getting better. So when you talk about percentages, and you might not, you might have heard other people talk about percentages, could there be just one awesome percentage, 100%? Now, I don't know how you measure that, and I don't know how the experts measure that. How do we know that we've put in 100% effort? But how about this? Rather than say, I put in 110% effort, what about if we just do everything as hardest, fastest, as the bestest that we can at the moment? And is it possible that, as the beautiful folks at Ferrari say, even the best know they can get better? So is it possible that if you sprint to 100% effort, so you go as hard as you possibly can, you keep going till you can't do any more because you've just completely run out of breath and your legs have gone to jelly, so you stop. But is it possible that that 100% effort, in a little while, it might be in 6 months' time, in 6 years' time, it might even be in 6 minutes' time, that you can actually beat that? So that you thought that was your best, you thought that was your 100% effort, but next time you can do better. So it's not really 110%, it's just always aiming to improve, always aiming to get better. I was introduced to a Japanese concept a very long time ago, and I think it was Anthony Robbins, Kanai, continual and never-ending improvement, which simply in my headspace, and have a think about what it might mean to you, continual and never-ending improvement to me just simply means whatever I've done, I'm going to aim to get better. Whatever I'm doing and I think it's good, I'm going to still aim to get better. And so I'll share the Ferrari quote again, even the best know they can get better. And having been to the factory at Maranello in Italy and listened to the passion of the people that produce Ferrari cars, regardless of how perfect they think that car is that they have just produced, that they've just designed the latest model, the designers, the architects, the engineers, the visionaries at Ferrari are already working on the next best. How can we make this one that we think is the best, how can we make it even better? And that's why I like to study the people who are considered the best in the world. Now, whether that's a sports person or a product or a service or a business or a person, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to have a look at, experience what other people consider excellence to be, and how can I learn from those people so that whatever I do in my life, I can aim to always put in 100% effort so that next time I can put in 100% effort again, but that 100% will be even better than last time. Another great focus I was given as a professional speaker, and it was interesting because when you hear it the first time, it's a little bit, I kind of went, oh, that's perplexing. Rowie, your every chat should be your worst chat. Because every chat after that should get better, of course. So even if you think that this one was awesome, this, you know, there was 10,000 people and they paid you $10,000 and everybody loved it, but it should still be the worst one you've ever done because the next one should be better. And I really love that concept because it's always about continual and never-ending improvement. And the beautiful thing now that I've learned from neuroscience, from the chemical responses in our body, is that our body wants to do that too. Our body will produce the chemicals that we need to keep getting better. So rather than limit ourselves to numbers, and I always find it fascinating, particularly in the exercise profession, it's always numbers. Food is 80% of your results and exercise is 20% of your results. 3 sets of 10, you have to do this many exercises, you have to eat this many times a day, you have to have this many calories, you have to, and there's always numbers. How about why, or ask the question, why and how? Why do we restrict ourselves to numbers? If somebody says to you, you should sprint for 10 seconds and then you stop at 10, what if you could do 11? If somebody says you should do 3 sets of 10, first of all, I can never understand that concept, why 3? And if you're going to do 10, what if you can do 11? What if you can do 12? What if you can do 15? Why would you stop when you haven't reached your 100% effort? When you eat food, why would you want it to just be 80% of your results? Why wouldn't you want your food to give you 100% of your results from food so that you can go and give 100% effort into your exercise? Why would you want to study to get 80% for your final mark? And it Max, it's interesting because we don't have tests or exams, so it doesn't matter. But we have 100% success rate. You don't get to qualify unless you've completed everything at 100% of what is required. Now, you have many times to do that because one of the interesting things about education is we often do a pass and fail. And when you talk about failing, most people think that's a bad thing. But what if the only definition of failure is that you gave up? So at Max, you can't give up. It's a lifetime education. You keep having a go. You keep learning. You keep studying. You keep getting better until you succeed. And then I like to think about tapping into that 100%, which is I give 100% effort into everything that I do. And then next time, because I put in 100% last time, I can go harder, better, quicker, more effective next time. I often have parents say to me, how can you expect people to get 100% for everything at Max? And I always ask exactly the same question. What is it that you don't want to know? What is it that... And the cardiologist example to me is probably the most important. If I was having a cardiologist operating on my heart or a neurosurgeon operating on my brain, which part of the brain and which part of the heart would I not want those people to know? I don't want to have a neurosurgeon cutting open my brain that got 80 out of 100 for the test. How about you? I don't want somebody giving me open heart surgery who got 80 out of 100 for their cardiology exam. That is of no interest to me. How about you? But I share the same with my exercise professionals. Which percentage of the human body do you not want to know? Which part of the amazing human body that responds beautifully to exercise do you not want to understand how and why it works? And that's why Max is a lifetime education. There's no completion to the program. Yes, you can get qualified, but surely the qualification is just the beginning of the learning. After 30 plus years of being qualified multiple times with multiple pieces of paper, every piece of paper that I've ever received has just taught me how much I don't know and how much more I want to keep learning. For someone who hated school, it's fascinating, A, to watch me and listen to me and feel how excited I get about lectures on endocrinology, ophthalmology, the human brain and neuroscience, exercise physiology. Why am I so excited about the human body? Because how can I possibly function as a human being if I don't have a body that is 100% healthy, fit and strong, 100% enjoying its food, 100% enjoying its exercise, 100% committed to learning and having a career that I love? How about you? What if, and I'll ask this question, what if as a human, and I can't control what other people do, you can't control what other people do, we can't control what each other does, but what if, and I ask myself this question regularly, Rowie, what if every day you put in 100% effort into your health and fitness so that you can be as fit and strong as you can possibly be? What if every day you put 100% effort into your career and the thing that you love to do every day? What if every day you put 100% effort into learning, into your financial freedom, into your relationships? There's another great question. Why would you put 80% effort into a relationship? What kind of result would you get from your relationship if you only put in 80% effort? What if you only put in 50%? What if you say, well, if they put in 100%, then I'll put in 100%. And we're waiting for other people to do what they're supposed to do. What if we just decided as human beings, everything I do, in every area of my life, in every area of performance, I'm going to give my 100% effort. I'm going to do it as hard or as fast or as effective or as the best that I can do it at the moment, knowing that if I do my best today, that next time I do this, I'm going to be even better. The best know they can get better. The human body has unlimited potential, according to the experts. Would you like to find out what your potential is? And that word's really interesting because it just simply means unused. If you have potential, it means that you haven't used whatever it is that you've got for that particular thing. Oh, she's got the potential to be a great singer. But of course, she's not yet because she hasn't done what's required. So whatever your potential is, would you like to find out what it is? And is it possible that if we put in 80%, 50%, 30%, 99%, that we'll never reach our full potential? And is it possible that if we keep reaching for our full potential, we'll keep pumping those amazing chemicals, those power drugs through our brain that reward us, make us feel fantastic, and grow our brain cells, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. The chemical neural responses in our body when we're achieving, when we're performing, when we're pushing towards a goal, when we're aiming and striving are the things that make us feel good. And last but not least, if you talk to the neuroscientists, the psychologists and psychiatrists, and if you ask the question, why are people depressed or why are people unhappy? Psychiatrists and psychologists and neuroscience are very unlikely to talk about happiness, but they will certainly talk about people who are depressed or have a brain that's not functioning at high performance. And they have all shared with me in one way, shape, or form, that's all to do with purpose. If you have no purpose, no reason to get up, then you won't feel like getting up. If you have no reason, no purpose to strive, to reach your full potential, to put 100% effort in, if you are just aiming to be average, they will suggest that your mental well-being, your mental health will also be very limited. The people that wake up with the purpose and the people that strive, the people that are aiming to achieve, the people that are aiming to constantly make their life better, more interesting, more exciting, to get fitter, healthier, stronger, wiser, are more likely to be mentally healthy. And isn't it interesting that as parents, teachers, coaches, leaders, if we're not doing that, what hope have our kids got of ever reaching their full potential? If we are the only example that kids have to follow, if we're the only people that our children have to look at, if we're not doing our 100% effort every time, how can we expect our kids to put in 100% effort? And I always use the example, after 23 years of teaching group exercise, I was always very aware of how much effort and energy I needed to put into my classes. Because if I put in 100% effort and energy, the rest of the class might give me 80, 90%. But if I only put in 60 or 70% effort, I'd be very lucky to get 30 or 40% from my class. So I was very committed and very focused that every time I taught a class, I put in 100% energy, enthusiasm, excitement, passion, discipline, practice, planning, preparing to make sure that my 100% effort would at least drive up other people's energy and enthusiasm for their exercise. So as a parent, as a teacher, as a coach, is it possible that we all need to do that so our kids have an example to be inspired by? So what effort do you put into everything that you do? What effort are you committed to putting into everything that you do? And is it possible that if you put in 100%, you go as hard as you can, you work as hard as you can, you put in as much effort as you can, that next time you'll be able to do even more? Is it possible that we can keep getting better, keep improving, keep making life better? And is it possible that if we wake up with a purpose every day to learn more and to be fitter, healthier and stronger and to add more value to our world, that we'll have a purpose to get up, which will make our life even more exciting, which means we'll pump more of those happy chemicals, which means we will continue to grow and get better. What a beautiful circle. May your circle be constantly spiraling upwards, and may you always be aiming for that 100%. What will life be like if you always put in 100% effort? What a great question.